RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Sports Radio 910 The Fan.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
It's time for MP on the mic.
Let's go.
Let's go, baby. Woo!
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Driving around on a Wednesday morning, a little something special for you today. Michael Phillips, MP on the mic. Commander Super Show. We've been talking a lot of college basketball recently, so I wanted to do a Commander Show because a lot's going on. You heard the Junkies chat with Dan Quinn before we came on here. If you were up early enough, if you weren't up early enough, grab the Odyssey app, hit rewind, check in with DQ, the coach of the Washington Commanders. Lots going on. We'll slide through it. VCU hoops tonight, 6:30 tip. That's not 6:30 pregame. The ball goes in the air at 6:30. Be there, be early, be ready. Rams versus Rams, VCU versus Rhode Island. All right, let's take these in chronological order, more or less, because news came out this morning, Mark Maskey, Nikki Javala over the Washington Post, that FedEx is taking its name off of FedEx Field. They are exercising the contractual right to bail on that agreement early. It was a 30-year agreement, would have taken them up to 26, the end of the 26th season. They're bailing on it a year early. First thought, this makes a ton of sense for FedEx because that stadium has existed for 26 years now, and we've all only ever called it FedEx Field, basically, aside from the Raul John era. Ralph and John were John Kent Cook's sons, so he named the city Raul John when he made the stadium. It didn't stick. And beyond the early days, it's been FedEx Field as long as anybody's known it. It will be very hard for anybody else to get any value out of that name. And FedEx will still get residual. You know, we're still going to say, going to FedEx Field this weekend, right? Nobody's going to say, I'm going to loanshark.crypto.com stadium this weekend, or whatever it is. Whoever's willing to give them $4 to put their name on the stadium, 1067 to Fan Stadium at Crypto Loan Shark Way. It's not a situation where there's any value to be had naming it because it's already been named, right? Nationals Park. The reason Nationals Park hasn't been named is because everybody calls it Nationals Park. When you name it something new, it's not going to matter. FedEx already has their value. It makes business sense for them to bail. Now, part two of that, look, Jason Wright's not going anywhere, right? Jason Wright's running the business office for the Commanders. That's the sort of thing that's going to make his life harder because you need revenue to do the things you want to do. And they won't fully maximize that revenue until the new stadium. But that's an issue. If you've got, you know, you've got a sponsor bailing because it's advantageous to them, you want to keep them in the fold. You want to keep that momentum building and keep them in the fold, and they've not been able to do that. Now, I'm not going to do the full, like, super hot take situation here of, like, man, you know, just same old Redskins. Because I don't think that's what this is. I think this is a company that, one, has ties to a previous ownership that had beef with Dan Snyder, right? Two, has disrupted things in Ashburn before and in Landover before. Remember, FedEx initiated the we're done with the name thing. We're going to take our name off the stadium if they don't change their name. They were first in on that. And there were a lot of reasons for that that had absolutely nothing to do with whether or not anybody was offended by the name. Revisit that time. That wasn't about political correctness. That wasn't about respect for Native Americans. You can debate those things, and I'm fine if you want to debate those things. The reason the name of the team was changed was because Dan Snyder allegedly stiffed his co-owners, the minority shareholders, their payments, and was withholding money from them. And one of those minority shareholders was Fred Smith, who owns Federal Express, FedEx, used his company to get back at Dan Snyder. That's why the name changed. And this is the logical continuation of that. This is obviously a smart business move for them because there's no value in having your name on that stadium for the next few years. I can argue they didn't get their value out of having their name on the stadium, period. But this is further proof, right, that this isn't an overnight project for Josh Harris, for Jason Wright. We'll hear from Josh Harris on the stadium here in a bit later in the show. He did an interview with Chick Hernandez after the Super Bowl that I think went under the radar. I want to dust that back off and play that for you for a minute. Talk about the stadium. He had an interesting comment on the stadium. We'll circle back on that. But this is cleanup now. This is cleanup of a lot of bridges that have been burned for a long time. Bud Light left, then came back. You see a lot of sponsors that left and now are dipping their toe back in, but they're not coming back in at the same level, the same enthusiasm that they were. They have to earn that. And a lot of that's not coming until the new stadium, until the new name, until the new identity is fully complete. The stench of Dan is going to take more than a few months and a party to get off. It's going to exist for a while. And you talk about Adam Peters, his job now, as we transition and talk about free agency, Adam Peters' job is to get people to want to play here. And that won't happen overnight because of the reputation, because of how things have been here for so long. That's what this indicates. The FedEx Field name, you know, it makes business sense for FedEx, but it shows you these guys, in terms of maximizing their revenue, it is a battle for the next few years, and it is an uphill battle until they can establish themselves as what they're going to be on the other side. There's optimism they'll be that, but a lot of people are going to sit on the sidelines until they become that. And I think ticket sales will be the same. I think a lot of people are going to be single game buyers for the next few years. I'll go once. It's fun to be back. It's fun to have the team again, but I still got objections. I still want to see a winning product. I'm uncertain about the coach. I'm uncertain about the name. You know, you've gone from bad to neutral. And don't sleep on that. That's amazing. That's a great thing. You've gone from bad to neutral. But then now you got to go from neutral to good. Neutral to we're winning fans now. We're not just, we stopped bleeding fans, but we got to bring a new generation of fans in. So that's how we, there you go. There's the start, Commander's Super Show. Quarterbacks are the topic, though. Wild story about Caleb Williams this morning in The Athletic. All right, you're going to want to pull this up if you haven't read this. People are going to be talking about this. This is from The Athletic, Kalen Carr. I apologize for butchering the name. We'll figure that out. Kalen talked to some people close to Caleb Williams, and the story primarily centers around his dad, Carl Williams, who, according to her reporting, has asked about getting a stake in NFL teams, has threatened to keep him in school, has, you know, refused to sign an NFLPA agent because he doesn't believe that they're looking out for rookies in the draft system and in the contract system. And you're going to have these red flags, and you're going to have this discussion before a draft always. And part of it is, I don't want to go straight down to, like, boy, this sounds a lot like Dwayne Haskins. Because it kind of does. It kind of does sound like a lot like Dwayne Haskins. All right, just put that out there. It's not wrong to say that. Setting that aside, these conversations are always going to happen around the top picks. People are going to poke around. People are going to try to tear him down, especially when he's talking about subverting a system that makes a lot of money for a lot of people, the agent system, the representation system. He's opting out of that. Those agents now have all the more reason to spread their stories about the conversation they've had with Carl Williams, Caleb's dad. So I think you'll hear a lot more on that stretch. I'm not sold that this is a red flag that the dad has been demanding and is looking out for his son and is the business manager for his son. Just as with Dwayne Haskins, that wasn't a disqualifier for me. I do think, and look, I'm going to go double controversial here because we've got the Dwayne comparison. Here's part two. I do think there's some truth to the reality that he may be best served by not playing in Washington, D.C. That he may be best served by being in a place where he doesn't have that family apparatus, have those demands, have those... And demands on his time, right? Hands out, things of that nature. He thrived at USC. He thrived in Los Angeles. I'm not saying he can't succeed with the Commanders. I'm just saying this isn't a cut-and-dried situation. He's a great quarterback. Put him on the team. Great things will happen. I don't think it's that easy. And we have to have these discussions because I do think they're discussing what it would take and what it would look like to trade up to number one. I think they're having all the discussions. Pick at one, trade back, do whatever it is. There's tons of options on the board. There's three great quarterbacks, but then there's other quarterbacks down the line. If you like one of them, can you get more picks? Can you get offensive linemen, edge rushers, tight ends, all those things you need, right? I keep coming back to tight end. Eugene Shen, he's the analytics guy, big tight end guy. I think if you look at the best teams in the NFL, they maximize that position. They have stars and well-paid stars on that at that position because there's value there, right? It's a tough position to find, but it's also a cheap position to pay. Travis Kelce's making $12 million next year, which is crazy. He's worth far more than that. George Kittle, underpaid. Go up and down the league, look at your tight ends. They're probably underpaid relative to production. The athletic story about Carl Williams, though, this is Caleb's dad. Some agents were wary of him, thinking most of his ideas were unrealistic and some foolish. Now, does that include him pulling a John Elway? Him pulling an Eli Manning? Orchestrating a trade? If he wants to be in D.C., that could lower the price. That could also raise the complications. If the Bears know that's the team they need to trade with, that lowers the price. And Chicago's probably not going to be mad about going down to two if they end up loving somebody else. But that increases the cost for Washington in terms of potential headaches and what you've got to deal with. And we've run down that road. And just to be fully clear here, because I know how this is going to go over. Just to be fully clear here, it's okay to have a quarterback who's a diva. There are lots of quarterbacks who are a diva who get accommodated and handled, and things turn out just fine. Aaron Rodgers is absolutely a head case. Everybody sees that. He was in an organization in Green Bay that was built to handle that. You look at quarterbacks who Ben Roethlisberger, head case and a liability. The Steelers had the organization to handle that. I think Adam Peters is going to build a great organization. Are they ready from day one to handle something like that? Are they ready right now to handle something like that? I don't know that they are. And that's part of the due diligence. That's part of what's going on at the scouting combine. That's part of what's going on as they kick the tires on these players and do their research and decide what they want to do. The other big decision, right, is to potentially trade back. And I just think it's got to be so worthwhile. It's got to be a haul. Because when you get to having a good team, you're going to need a quarterback to make that go. You're going to need an engine in that car to make it drive. If you don't take a quarterback now, it gets much harder from here to find your guy. It's not impossible. We've seen late-round guys succeed, but it's more rare than it is common. And so if you move out of that top spot where you're taking your chance on a top guy, you better do it for a lot of picks, right? You're talking about the Bears double jump. The Bears double jump. If they move to 2 and then move to 8 or move to 2 and then move to 10 or 17 or whatever it is, that could set you up with, right, 4 first-round picks next year. Now we're having a discussion. Now we're talking about something that might be worthwhile for them. 4 first-round picks over the next couple of years. The Commanders would need to make it really worth their while to trade down, because otherwise, you're going to be using all those picks you got to trade back up and get a quarterback when it's time. Off and running Commander Super Show today. Don't let that distract you from the fact VCU basketball does tip off at 6:30 tonight. Early tip, Rams against the Rams at the Stew. Full coverage on 910 The Fan. Awan goes back to college at noon. He's at the Siegel Center. He's at the Student Commons. If you're at the Student Commons at VCU, drop by, check in with Awan. Life's good out there. Life's good in here. We'll take your calls, 833-804-0910, if you want to weigh in on who the Commanders should take. We'll continue our Commanders Super Show on the other side of this break. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. 11 o'clock in the beautiful city of Richmond, Virginia. Michael Phillips here, MP, on the mic. Welcome aboard Commander Super Show today, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Don't let that distract you from the fact that the VCU plays basketball tonight at the Siegel Center, 6:30 tip, AWOD pregame. And Robbie and Rodney, of course, have the call as the Rams take on the Rams. It's VCU against Rhode Island. Chance to build on the offensive momentum from Saturday, or at least the Sunday, the second half of that game. A little bit of offensive momentum going on there. Shot 20% in the first half, 70% in the second half. The second, good enough to win. Defense, good enough to lock it down. So that's where the VCU stands. Also got our eye on UVA tonight at Boston College. 9 o'clock tip there. Pretty important game for them as they seek to lock up their tournament bid. But like I said, Commanders Super Show today. I haven't talked to Commanders in a while. We'll leave VCU to AWOD. He is live on campus today getting you ready for the game as part of AWOD Goes Back to School. He'll take over at noon, because I feel like we got a lot of ground to cover here on the Commanders. I want to start with quarterback because that's the place to start. It's been annoying me all week, and I think I've been poking the hive or poking the bear, or whatever the saying is. I've been doing some poking because a lot of people on social media have been coming at me saying Sam Howell should get another year with the team. You should trade the pick back. You should pick a different quarter, or you should pick wide receiver, offensive line, load up the rest of the team, give Sam Howell a true evaluation, right? You can't truly evaluate Sam Howell until you see what he can do with the full complement of weapons. And I just could not be less interested in hearing from these people. Sam Howell has had plenty good of a chance to be quarterback of the Washington Commanders. Sam Howell has a 17-game, 18-game sample size at this point, basically, not counting, I guess, the Jacoby Brissett game. Sam Howell has an incredible sample size at this point. We know exactly what he is. He can hang around. He can absolutely be a backup in this league. He's a good backup to have, right? That's the other tweet that's been making the rounds this week is teams are interested in trading a third-round pick for Sam Howell. I wouldn't do that deal either. So don't think I'm anti-Sam Howell out of the gate here. I just think we have seen enough in his 2 years in Washington to know Sam Howell is not the answer at quarterback for the Washington Commanders. Look, you could do this the way the Niners do this. You could build a great team. You could throw him in Brock Purdy style. He could absolutely look good. His numbers would be much better. There's a better way to do it, though, and that way is to find a good quarterback. Now, it's not a given you find a good quarterback, but it's certainly something you're capable of with the number 2 overall pick in the draft. And, you know, we'll get into the speculation. I was kind of jarred this week to see the Peter King story, and he was very clear. He wasn't, you know, reporting what was going to happen, but he suggested the Bears might trade down twice in the first round. That caught my eye, right? Twice in the first round tells me one skip to a position that's still quarterback on the board, the second skip out. So the only two teams you could do that with would be the Commanders at number 2 and the Patriots at number 3. I would be very surprised if that happened, if the Bears truly double skipped out of it with the opportunity to take Caleb Williams. But it wouldn't be out of line for them. We heard from the Bears this week, their general manager saying yesterday at the Combine, whatever it is, they want to resolve it quickly because that's fair to Justin Fields if they're going to move him out of there. I am not sold that they have to move Justin Fields out of there, by the way. I think there's plenty of precedent in having two good quarterbacks on a roster. It always blows my mind, this notion that this is essentially the one position on a football team where, well, you can't have two good players there, you know, the egos and it won't. These are professional athletes. I don't see anything wrong with saying, we got two good players here, we're going to let them work it out, and the better one's going to play, and the other one's going to sit, and there's going to be opportunities for both of you, because, by the way, a majority of NFL teams, more than 16 NFL teams, played a backup quarterback last year in a spot where, like, not a week 18 spot, but in a spot where the starter was injured, the starter wasn't good, and they needed to go to another quarterback for a week. That happened on the majority of NFL teams this year. There's nothing wrong with keeping two good quarterbacks, and that's why I want to keep Sam Howell. You need a good backup more than ever in this league. I like Taylor Heinicke for that reason. I hate Taylor Heinicke playing 13, 14 games a year. That's not going to work for anybody. Love Taylor Heinicke as a backup. Love Sam Howell as a backup. Love Jacoby Brissett as a backup. These are guys you need to keep your team running. You need one of these guys, and Justin Fields could be that guy. Is he happy about that? No, I'm sure he wouldn't be happy about that. If I were the Bears, I'd keep him around, and I think that only increases your trade leverage, too, if you commit to keeping Justin Fields for the year. You know, your options of what you can do with the number one pick and when deals happen on that. Now, if the Commanders move up to number one, I mean, that would just be an absolutely wild turn of events. I would not give up any future first-round picks. I'm a hard no on that. I would stay put. I would turn in the card. I would take Drake May or Jaden Daniels. I'm a Jaden Daniels guy. I'm on the record of that. It's a high ceiling. I love a high ceiling. I got no problems with Drake May either, though. One of the other Sam Howell things is, and this is unfair to Drake May, why would you draft Drake May? He's just Sam Howell, but newer. No, Drake May is better than Sam Howell. Just because they're both white guys from North Carolina does not mean they're the same. That indicates a lack of research there on your end. Drake May is a better quarterback than Sam Howell. You watch the throws he makes, you watch his play, you watch the way he processes, you watch the way he moves through his progressions. There are flaws in Drake May's game. We'll get into those more. It's Combine Week. Obviously, everybody's going to be dissecting everybody. We'll get into that more as it goes on. There are flaws in Drake May's game. He plays lazy sometimes. He makes a throw that he thinks is an easy throw and is going to get him intercepted in the NFL. But he processes quickly. He would not take that many sacks in a season. He's not going to be challenging any sack records. I like Drake May a lot. The other thing is, you couldn't have Drake May and Sam Howell on the same team together. And look, I know, sometimes you can't take the things athletes say at face value, but I actually asked Sam Howell about this back in December. So this is December 13th. This is right after Drake May declared for the draft. I asked him about Drake May, and let's go to the archives. Let's play that answer.
You know, have you guys interacted along the way, and have you given him any advice, or what advice would you give him as he starts that journey?
Yeah, I talk to Drake pretty much every day. He's one of my really good friends, and yeah, just super excited for him. You know, what a great career, and just it's been so much fun to watch him and just knowing who he is, the type of person he is, and how hard he's worked to get to where he is. It's so much fun to watch, and obviously, you know, super excited for him to be in the NFL, and he definitely deserves it. But yeah, I mean, he has a good head on his shoulders, a lot of good, really good people around him that will help lead him in the right direction. You know, I try to be there for him anytime he needs something. But yeah, you know, it's getting ready to get busy for him with the training and everything, so I'm excited for him. He'll handle it well, and he'll come to the NFL and light it up for sure.
Now, Sam Howell back in December asked about Drake May, his former college teammate, current friend from North Carolina, who's in the draft. I think that, you know, look, obviously people say things, but I do think there's a genuine friendship there. And look, if I were Sam Howell, I wouldn't mind taking some time watching him, because this offensive line is not going to improve overnight, assuming they don't use the number two pick on Joe Alt or another offensive lineman. I don't think this offensive line is going to be ready to win Super Bowls overnight. You know, we'll see, of course, what Cliff Kingsbury brings to the table, what the new offensive staff brings to the table. Offensive line improvement is always possible year to year off of coaching. But, it, you know, one of my stances has been, if I draft a quarterback, I'm not playing him week one. I'm letting Al run out there for a little while. I'm letting him play for a little while, which leads to my very favorite argument is, well, what if Sam Howell does well? Then you've got a problem. Is no, then you don't have a problem. Then you have a solution. You have two good quarterbacks. If Sam Howell really plays well enough that you would want to keep him as your quarterback over Drake May, you could still trade Drake May. Not that you would. Not that that's going to happen. It's not a problem, though, in the traditional sense of the word. Drake May was on Adam Schefter's podcast this week, took on the exact same topic. Let's play that clip now.
Now, what kind of relationship do you have with another former North Carolina quarterback, Sam Howell, who also plays in Washington right now?
No doubt. One of my best friends. Sam has had a big impact on me learning, going in there my freshman year in North Carolina, true freshman year, and his being his last year and such, had such great success, and just seeing how he prepared, how seriously he took, and wasn't necessarily a culture shock, but just a kind of shift from, playing all sports growing up throughout high school, just focusing on one sport and how he handled that and how he took care of his body and worked hard in the weight room. It was awesome to see him and sit behind him that 1 year, and it's like kind of paid off, big jumps for me. That's not the right word for it, but pay off big dividends. Yeah, for me
there
in my
go.
Next 2 years.
There you
yeah,
go.
There you go. Exactly.
There's that North Carolina education there, right?
Yeah,
right there,
yeah.
Drake.
Big dividends for my next 2 years at Carolina. So I'll still keep in touch with him and see him, almost, he was just in Chapel Hill the other weekend for the Duke game. We were up there together and playing golf. So I'm a big fan of Sam and we keep in touch, almost daily.
Well, how much conversation have you had about the prospect that you could wind up in Washington with him?
Yeah, I think it's part of it. I think, I think it's just one of those things where it's not ideal, but at the same time, it's part of a business. We've done it, in college together, and I think the best thing about it, we'll help each other, and, whether the scenario goes, she was one of my best friends, no going to be no hard feelings, it's part of it, and, and being in there as two NFL quarterbacks, being in the same room is not, too bad of problems. A lot bigger problems out there in the world than, having to deal with that.
As Drake May on Adam Schefter's podcast this week, talking about the possibility of being reunited with Sam Howell in Washington, which I don't think is a far-fetched possibility. I mean, if you're drawing up your percentages chart here, I think Drake May and Jaden Daniels probably have the highest likelihood of being the Washington Commanders draft pick or first draft pick they make. You'd certainly have a little Caleb Williams on that pie chart, a little trade down on that pie chart. I continue to think they will not take Joe Alt or Marvin Harrison Jr. at number two. I just think you got too many. It's too low of a value for that pick, right? Eugene Shen's the analytics guy. You're going to hear his name a lot over the years here coming. Value is an important element of the draft pick. Value is a quarterback at number two. Quarterbacks at number two, you don't want to take a position player until later. If you're not taking a quarterback at number two, you want to get back and get multiple picks because you do have lots of holes to fill. I'm not anti-trade back. I actually would be fine with the right trade back, but I certainly understand the thinking. This is your opportunity to grab a franchise quarterback. It's no guarantee you will, but this is your opportunity to grab a franchise quarterback. Why wouldn't you take advantage of that opportunity and do that? But a lot of that's how the scouting process is going to play out, and a lot of that is what they're doing this week at the Combine as they start sorting Adam Peters and his crew on down the line. That's a big decision they'll be making for the future of the Washington Commanders. Lots of other big decisions for the future of the Washington Commanders, too. I want to rewind. On Super Bowl night, Josh Harris did an interview with Chick Hernandez, WUSA Television, that aired after the Super Bowl in Washington. I think that one largely slid under the radar. I want to play a couple of clips from that and talk about the business side of the house in Washington as well. We'll do that as we roll along Wednesday edition of MP on the Mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Wednesday morning, MP on the mic. Welcome back. Big night for college basketball. You'll hear it right here on the Fan. VCU takes on Rhode Island. The Rams versus the Rams. That's tonight at 6:30. So your pregame starts extra early tonight, 5:45 pregame. Cuts into the end of Grant and Danny. That's all right. They'll forgive us. It's worth it. It's worth it because we've got VCU basketball. Only a few left of these. Cherish every last one of them. AWOD pregame, Robbie and Rodney on the call. Also, you are in action tonight, and UVA up at Boston College in a sneaky big game for them up at Chestnut Hill. 9 o'clock start, 9 p.m. start. No juice. Juice-free Wednesday in Chestnut Hill. That's a stadium that is lacking in lacking an ambiance on the better of days. And Wednesday at 9 p.m. against a team that is known for lulling viewers to sleep is not going to be one of those days, but it's going to be important for UVA to show up, for the offense to show out, and get things straightened out ahead of a big Saturday game at Duke. UVA's got two they can win here in their final three. They're at Boston College tonight. They host Georgia Tech for their senior day next weekend. If they can take care of business in those two, I think they're in a good spot to make the NCAA tournament. And as AY and I discussed yesterday, this is as big a potential swing as we've seen in a while, right? The headline of will Virginia be without an NCAA team is not unfounded, and certainly not coming into this game tonight, where if UVA loses, you're probably looking at a bracketology board where right now Norfolk State would be the only team from Virginia on that board. Now, Norfolk State has to win the MEAC tournament, as they do every year. That's a one-bid league, of course, but I'll be curious to see what happens coming down the stretch. Should be a fascinating, fun couple weeks of basketball. JMU very much still in the mix. Richmond still in the mix. Virginia Tech, we'll see. Could make some noise in D.C. Could get stuck on Tuesday in D.C. You don't win the tournament out of Tuesday. You got to at least play your way out of the double bye, but they'll get the opportunity with a couple good games late. We're doing Commander Super Show today, talking all things Washington Commanders. I want to rewind back to after the Super Bowl. Commanders owner Josh Harris was on in D.C. with Chick Hernandez, TV anchor up there, WUSA 9. They broadcast to the Super Bowl this year. And one of the things they talked about was a new stadium, and I would love to play that clip for you right now.
Yeah, so obviously on the football side, right, I mean, the NFL is full on. So we go from here to the combine, to free agency, to the draft. Obviously, we have the number two pick. We are going to add some people here and there to what's going on in terms of people that can help us. So that's a full on situation. We'll coming soon. We're hoping to be able to talk about a lot of good things we're going to do with the stadium. We've been working on that, and then obviously, we're busy at work studying on a longer term basis. We're studying, okay, where would our new home be? And we just continue to look at sites in three jurisdictions. We'll have a lot more to say about that in the coming months. It's very complicated, sure, in the sense that, you know, there, each site has its own nuances in terms of the politics, the site itself. Is it good for football? What does it do to the area? How do you do it? And so all that stuff is ongoing. So we're working hard.
Sure. And in Philadelphia, I think it's no cost to the taxpayers. Can that work here in this area?
Yeah, like we're looking at all that. I mean, obviously, we're trying to shoulder as much of the burden as we can. Obviously, the arenas and stadiums are way different price tags, but we're looking hard at how all of us are fortunate, and we want to shoulder as much of the burden as we can.
That is an all-time great answer, by the way. Just an all-time. I want to shoulder as much of the burden as humanly possible. I'm just one man, I don't have billions of dollars. I mean, I kind of do, but I want to do as much as I can. Stadiums are more expensive, or arenas, stadiums are more expensive than arenas. Another good line there. Here's the reality of it, by the way, and Josh Harris can't say this, but I can say this. There's three localities that all want to host the Washington Commanders right now. They're red hot. They're an NFL team. There's only 32 of them in the world. Everybody wants one. Virginia, Maryland, D.C. all want one. They're going to get the best deal for them, and it's absolutely going to involve taxpayer money. It's kind of like, maybe they structure it like this Monumental thing, right? The Monumental thing's funneling more than $1 billion back to Monumental with no new taxes, right? That's the catchphrase there. It's the money generated from the site gets funneled back into paying off the bonds to build Monumental, the Caps, and the Wizards Stadium. That's doable, especially at the RFK site. You could see something like that. But in terms of not leaning on the taxpayers, that's not going to happen here. Somebody's going to be coughing up some money to be the home of the Commanders. And, Josh Harris talked about the ongoing process, and, certainly people who have been following this for a long time are nodding along. This is not a quick end game here. There's progress in the Senate, in the House, towards returning the RFK land to Washington, D.C. That's a first step in a long process. When the land comes back to D.C., D.C. still gets to decide what they want to do with it. And I don't think it's a given that they want to sign it over for a Commander's stadium. I think the D.C. mayor wants that, Muriel Bowser. I think there are absolutely members of city council that want that. I don't think it will be unanimous, though, and I think there will be neighborhood opposition as well from people who want to see that become something else. The other thing is, I mean, people are so used to that being a stadium, right? You remember the RFK days? The new stadium's not going to be just a stadium. New stadium's going to be a lot. It's going to be a Patriot Place, right? It's going to be a development. It's going to be places where they want people to go year-round. Training camp will probably be held there. There's going to be a lot going on at that site. A lot of retail, offices, hotels, condos, things of that nature, which is going to produce a long discussion and a long period of chatting in D.C., which is healthy and is good, but is certainly standing in the way of quick fixes for Josh Harris and his crew, because he spent $6 billion. A lot of it wasn't his own money. He's got a lot of investors, and the sooner that new stadium gets built, the sooner they can turn the corner towards repaying that money and towards maximizing their revenue. You saw the headlines yesterday. They're injecting $75 million more into FedEx Field for improvements there, and they're going to have new suites and do all those things. But these are Band-Aids from a group that knows the real answer is on down the line with a new stadium, with a new identity, with all those things. I sneak that in. I don't mean to sneak that in. I know the name thing gets everybody riled up. Look, you saw the Clippers do it this week. The Clippers are changing their logo and their identity to coincide with a new stadium. Now, they're not changing their name. They're still the Clippers. But this is all part of it, right? I don't think they're going to change their name until they're closer to a new arena. That full, fresh look, that full, fresh rebranding. It's possible they do it quickly. I think it's possible they take a long time, too. Josh Harris doesn't get... it's not question time with Uncle Josh a lot. Not that he's ducking the media by any stretch, because I don't think he is. But I think he could give a punt the ball down the road answer for 3-4 years, then come out with a new identity one day and surprise us. And I think that's what they'll do. I think that makes sense to rebrand with the new stadium and with the new breath of fresh air. And by that time, if Adam Peters does his job, you have a product that everybody's proud of on the field. Because I do think, right, stadium's number one, name's number two. If you're doing off the field priority list, on the field priority list, quarterback is number one, number two, and number three. Offensive line behind that. Defensive pass rush, very important as well, getting everything situated there. But the three main things we're focusing on, the team's focusing on, is stadium, quarterback, and then names on that pile as well. I don't devote a lot of segments to it, because I think we've kind of beaten that discussion into the ground, but I think it's absolutely something people care about out there, and I think it's coming. I think that they would have stopped the conversation by now if they had ruled out a name change down the line. All right, that was Josh Harris, Commander's Super Show. We'll circle back on that in a bit, but next, it's a Wednesday, so we chat with our guy Mike Svetitz, as we do, frontpagebets.com. He'll break down everything for us in the world of sports gambling. That on the other side of this, you're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. All right, we're back on a Wednesday and chatting with our good friend Mike Svetitz, frontpagebets.com. Always love having him in on a Wednesday. Mike, what's up?
What's going on, Michael?
Question for you, court storming. You covered Auburn. You were probably on the good end of court storming, not the bad end most of the time, right?
Actually, Auburn was terrible when I was there.
Yeah.
The Jeff Lebo and the Tony Barber years, there was no court storming whatsoever.
couldn't even get one.
But I think their biggest win was against, Southern Missouri State, or something like that.
I feel like everybody's got their hot take of what's going on. The Wake Forest security people botched it. Like, we don't have to reinvent everything. Like, the RMC events people would have never let that happen.
No, and I think, there's a couple of things at play here, right? There's no fines in the ACC for storming the court.
Yep.
In the SEC, I think you're up to $3 million after your second offense, right? So I think there's not rules in place that deter the fans. But again, you were a college kid. I was a college kid. you're going to storm the court, right? Like, if everybody else is doing it, let's go. I've seen people try to jump 8 feet over hedges and get stuck before, right? So people are going to do dumb things, you know, because the crowd's doing it, right? Remember this, nothing draws a crowd like a crowd. And when your buddy runs on the court, you're going to run on the court. So yeah, I think there's really, things are going to happen, but you could do a better job of preventing injury, make sure that people get off the court. You could have security placed down all across the baseline there and make sure that the teams get off the court safely, right? That's the number one factor here. If you can't do that, then yeah, you're going to have to start talking about banning court storming or, you know, fining, like seriously fine, you know. And again, I mean, honestly, you could even think, you could take this if you really want to go deep on it, you could find the kid who ran in to Filipowski and you know, press charges for assault, or you know what I mean? Like, I mean, there's some crazy things that could happen here if you really wanted to make a point out of this. I think college basketball is one of the best sports when it comes to, you know, fan engagement. You're right there on the floor. They got the pep bands. You got everybody yelling and screaming. It's part of the game. You've been to Cameron Indoor. You know how you're sitting on press row, right? You're getting things hit in the back of the head and, you know, they're all over you there. It's just part of the atmosphere. But when you start talking about, you know, it being unsafe, and especially if it happened to any other, here's why we're still talking about it, to be honest. It happened to Caitlin Clark. And then right after that, it happened to a Duke player.
It had to happen to Duke.
If it happened to any other school, you know, or, you know, if it was North Carolina, Duke, you know, UConn maybe, but any other school in any other conference, we wouldn't be talking about it. And the fact that Duke lost, right? So it's getting exacerbated. But I really, you know, you got to take care of the kids. You got to make sure that they're safe. You don't want basketball players running up in the stands with the students. You should find a way to keep the students from, you know, being interactive with the players, you know, putting them in harm's way.
Had to be Duke. It had to be Duke, of course, because that's the only way these things end up being the national news. College kids are going to be college kids. It just feels like there's a middle ground here. Anytime it's Duke, I remember, I think you were here. There was the one UVA Duke where UVA stormed the court and Kay was mad about it just because he was mad about it. Like, you know,
because he lost.
Yeah. I get that.
Right.
I tell you what, Mike, I dropped by frontpagebets.com and I got excited. You got some early Masters odds up. And that got me excited. It's, weather's turning a little warmer. You got some Masters odds up. I feel like I will admit I've been watching a little bit of LIV Golf recently. It's you know, that's where the stars are now. But you can't replace the Masters, and it's good to see some early Masters odds up.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of LIV, real quick, we're gonna break down that tournament this week too on Front Page Bets, because now you can bet on it in Virginia and a lot of other states as well that offer or that legalized
sports betting. Let's go.
So we'll start. You come back to Front Page Bets later on the week and check that LIV action out. But yeah, the Masters, I mean, obviously it's the first major of the year. It's my favorite tournament of the year. Augusta National is, you know, I mean, if heaven has a golf course, which I'm pretty sure it will, we're going to play, you know, everybody's playing Augusta, right? And so I think it's just it's a great tournament. Scottie Scheffler is the odds-on favorite with McIlroy and Rahm, last year's champion, right back there. So, you know, it's the top 50 players in the world will come out there and just, you know, give it a go on the best golf course on the planet, in my opinion. And I think it's going to be, you know, it's a sign of spring. It's always a second week in April, right after Easter. Can't wait till that happens. Can't wait to watch them tee off there, on the hallowed grounds. But also, you know, golf is in this crossroads now, cause you have LIV, you have the PGA Tour. You know, you got them taking shots back and forth at each other. Plus you have, you know, so much going on in the world of golf, and the fact that you may be able to put a couple wagers on it just makes it that much more interesting.
No doubt. And I mean, I would imagine it'd be a good business for Front Page Bets that week, Masters week as well. You also
following up right after the Final Four, right? So we get it back to back weekend.
Although that's you know, CBS stands in the way of tournament expansion for that reason. The NCAA tournament, they told them if you expand, we'd make you start a week earlier. They're not moving the Masters.
No, absolutely not.
Nope. That's a tentpole event. Although I could do a Masters Final Four combo weekend, because they don't conflict on time. Wrap up Saturday's round and head over to the courts for the first semifinal. It'd be a big day of sports.
So we're feeling like this would be like the Waste Management Open last year in Phoenix. So we're talking, this is what we're kind of talking about now. We're going to finish up the golf tournament just in time to flip over for the kickoff.
Yes. So, you know, Liv was in Las Vegas over Super Bowl weekend this year. And they invited us out there. I couldn't rally anybody to go out with me. I was kind of curious, but nobody else wanted to go.
Oh man, yeah. We got to talk to some people. I would have been out there with you.
Yeah, you would have. I'll also see NASCAR lines. It's Wednesday. This is malpractice. It's Wednesday. We still haven't mentioned the NASCAR finish from Sunday. They got some juice right now. It was
I tell you what.
It was a finish of cars out there.
And watching that race at Atlanta, you would have thought it was Talladega or Daytona for all the wrecks that they had and how fast that they were going, and that end was, you know, Daniel Suarez winning that one at the end. And, I mean, the three wide. You've seen two wide before. You've seen two guys racing. Three wide at the end. This is an amazing finish. But, you know, obviously the race was marred by a lot of accidents. You had a lot of the front runners taken out early. I think it was lap two. There was a big wreck. So, you know, it's a 1.5-mile speedway, but it was racing like it was a 2.5-miler at Daytona or Talladega. With these new cars and the handling, you know, guys not wanting to give up track position, everything like that, you're gonna see some stuff. So NASCAR season is, you know, off to a flying start, a pretty good start. And obviously, then we've got three races in the next month here in the state of Virginia, right? You got Bristol on St. Patrick's Day. 2 weeks later on Easter, you've got Richmond and then Martinsville after that. So, you know, NASCAR racing here in Virginia is going to be huge, and you know, we'll cover it all at Front Page Bets as well.
I knew about the Easter race. I hadn't put together the St. Patrick's Day race. Hope the crowd's ready for that. That'll be a night.
Well, we'll be out there. We'll be ready. I'll be out there. Front Page Bets will be out there.
Yes.
At Bristol on St. Patty's Day. So, you know, we'll make sure that we have the crowd ready to go. We'll take the pulse of the crowd, Phillips, and then I'll bring it back on Mike on the mic, and we'll talk about it after that and let you know how it fared.
I love it. Just, as long as you make it out okay, that's what matters. No storm in the track.
Absolutely. I cheer for me, right? No.
Mike Svetitz joins us on Wednesdays. FrontPageBets.com, of course, is the site. And college basketball, we're coming down the stretch here. I'm excited for the tournament. The conference tournaments before that. You look at the ACC in particular. Duke's back. UNC's good. I think UVA sneaks in. We'll see what they do tonight in Boston College.
Right.
But it sure feels like we got the heavy hitters hitting at the right time of year.
We do. Virginia needs to learn how to score the basketball, at least score a little bit more consistently. But, yeah, that was some bad. They set the game back a couple years against Tech and then following that up against North Carolina. But I think, I think you're going to have the same as it ever was. The ACC, the Big 12 is playing phenomenally right now. I mean, Kansas and, you know, Texas playing well. I think there's a lot of schools, Houston. When you look at this, the parity, though, across the league as well, across the college basketball, it's going to be another great tournament. And then who's going to be the Cinderella team, right? Who's going to be that 11-12 seed that's going to shock some folks? Who gets in? Who gets left out? It's going to be fun, man. March Madness right around the corner. And, you know, like everything we talked about, NASCAR, golf, you know, just because football season's over doesn't mean it slows down and it actually ramps up a lot. So we're looking forward to that here at Front Page Bet.
I always thought that was one of the more interesting jobs in the gambling world, because they set all those lines right after the bracket's announced, but that's not even one you can prep for, right? Like there's no, like in football, right, before the game, they, you know, they'll give you like, hey, if it's Chiefs 49ers, it's this. If it's Ravens 49ers, it's this. They got to drop 32 lines on short notice.
Absolutely. And you know, it'll change. You'll see it change. You know, they'll all come out, you know, they'll give the higher seed probably, you know, 1.5, 2.5, 5, you know, depending on the seeding. But, yeah, you're going to see those lines move a little bit. And I think the over-under, too, is where you're going to see a lot of the money line and the over-under could change a lot. And you can make some values there. But, you know, it's March Madness, right? If we could predict it, you know, you'd have that perfect bracket. So I think it's a great, you know, 3 weeks of basketball every year, and can't wait to watch it.
I love it. Mike Svetitz, what else you got cooking out there at frontpagebets.com?
Man, we talked about it all, buddy. We're just here cooking. Oh, and then you got baseball season right around.
Ooh, there we go.
Too. So we've got the NAL and NL and AL pennant races, who the favorites are there coming out this week. And like I said, LIV Golf. I'm excited about the LIV Golf action. We'll see how that plays out, because I think Taylor Gooch is starting to talk trash about Rory McIlroy already, so this is going to make it even better.
I love it. All right. Appreciate the time. As always, Mike Svedt, it's frontpagebets.com. We're back with more right after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.